Welcome to the Passion, Purpose, and Possibilities podcast. I'm your host, Candace Snyder. And after overcoming a life-changing injury, I discovered the power of passion and purpose in my own life. Now I'm here to share the incredible stories of my guests, people who found their own path to purpose, face challenges head-on, and are making a meaningful impact in the world. Each week, we'll dive into their journeys, their passions, and the causes they care about most, with the hope that their stories inspire you to reclaim your own purpose and explore the endless possibilities that lie ahead. So let's get started and uncover the power of passion, purpose, and possibilities. Did you know that visiting an art gallery can lower anxiety and depression while boosting critical thinking skills? Science even shows that viewing beautiful artwork can spark the same physical reactions as falling in love. That's where Movin' Art Relaxation comes in, a unique, fun, and easy way to meditate with art. Now on YouTube, Movin' Art Relaxation is an innovative platform that connects the beauty of art and music with the power of meditation and the ease of technology. Spearheaded by artist and business builder Peggy Massey, along with therapist Kim Leatherdale, Movin' Art Relaxation is all about getting original artists seen while helping you feel happier, more relaxed, and more productive. Fall in love with new artists and experience the joy and calm that art can bring. Check it out on YouTube today at Movin' Art Relaxation. You can find the link in the show notes. Running a solo business means wearing all the hats, and honestly, marketing is the one I've struggled with the most. That's why I recently joined The Greenhouse. It's a marketing hub designed specifically for solopreneurs, and even just getting started, I can already see how helpful it's going to be. It walks you through things like branding and messaging, planning your social media, learning SEO, and building a strategy that actually makes sense without the overwhelm. If you've been trying to do it all on your own, this might be exactly what you need too. You can start with a free trial. Just tap the link in the show notes and check out The Greenhouse. Okay, we are back for another episode of Passion, Purpose, and Possibilities, where I talk to my guests about their stories of transformation and how they found their path to purpose. And my guest today, he's had a little bit of a windy road, but he's now in the place where he knows what his passion and his purpose is. So let me introduce you to Robert Heath Sr. He's a nationally recognized empowering leadership strategist, executive coach, and keynote speaker. A former U.S. Marine Corps officer who commanded one of the largest companies in the Corps, Robert now helps high-capacity leaders align with their purpose, master self-leadership, and lead with impact. With a background in law, education, and entrepreneurship, he's coached thousands, from startups to Fortune 500s. His mission: help leaders get the best out of themselves and those they lead. So welcome to the podcast, Robert.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure being here.
I love your story, but I'm the one who knows the story and the listeners don't. And so I would love for you to share your experience a little bit about being in the Marine Corps and how this led you to finding your path for purpose now.
Yeah. Well,
what happened?
Well, sure. I'll go ahead into it. And it's a long time ago in the galaxy far, far away. No, I'm just kidding. No, the longer story, a little bit less long, is that what took me to the Marine Corps was what I like to call my leadership sojourn, right? It was a journey for me of trying to understand what it means to be a leader. And so I'll tell a little bit of the backstory. So I grew up south side of Chicago, south suburbs. And growing up, I got to see two different kind of worlds. My parents always made sure we went to good schools, and that, right, I was the oldest of five. I was going to college, and that was just what was going to be. I was relatively gifted, so I skipped a grade in school, graduated high school when I was 16. So the pathway was written. I was going to college. But I knew a lot of my friends that I grew up with, people that I went to church with, cousins and family members, et cetera, had different options, different opportunities. I remember when I was growing up, my mom didn't allow me to go to a school where the varsity basketball coach was already recruiting me as a seventh grader going into eighth grade. And my mom was like, nope, you're not going there. And I didn't understand at the time why she didn't want me going to that school. Now I understand where it was and what the realities were of that school. So fast forward, I go to college. I always want to help and figure out how to fix the problems that I saw growing up, the generational poverty, the school to prison pipeline, right? All of the different things, the urban crime epidemic that were affecting the communities that I cared about. So I went, of course, to become a teacher, right? In education, that's where I saw things different. That's what I want to do. And I was on a pathway to become a superintendent. And so this is probably my third or fourth year teaching. I'm a school improvement team coordinator. I'm a basketball coach. I'm a club sponsor. I'm a union rep. I'm doing all the things because I'm trying to learn and soak up as much as I can before I go and make the jump to administrator and then make the jump to district administration. And I'm in Memphis City Schools, which is at the time the 20th largest school district in the country. There are the new superintendent is literally who I want to be in 20 years. She's from Memphis originally, graduated, went away, got all the degrees behind her name, got the credentials, got the qualifications. She done work in school districts and revitalizing programs, and now she's home to make good and to change the school system and the school outcomes in our hometown. And I'm there and I understand what, and like, I see what she's doing. I'm loving it. I went through my summer and I'm listening to and learning a bunch of things that I still use to this day. I learned in that summer, right? And so I think that everything is great. And over the course of the next 18 months, I learned a lot about being qualified, but not necessarily being capable as a leader. Because in 18 months, she was gone. And she wasn't gone because she misappropriated money, because she was sleeping with somebody she wasn't supposed to be sleeping with, or any of those types of things, right? It wasn't any of the scandalous stuff. It was she didn't have the ability to galvanize the people that she needed to make her vision become a reality. The obstacles that were in her way, the people and the opposition won the day. And I remember when it happened, as I saw it happen, and I had my feelers everywhere. So I was hearing things from all different parts of the city. And one of the things that I saw was, I was like, that's me in 20 years, right? Because I thought that she was a good leader. I thought that she was, right? I was on board, but I didn't know what I didn't know. I didn't know what I needed and what she needed in order to actually be able to turn the ship around, if you would. And I realized that was a big blind spot that I had. And that's what kind of prompted the leadership sojourn. And so I went two different places. Number one, I needed to understand the levers of power. I need to understand society, how we make rules, how we make laws, how we make change. And that's really what sent me to law school, to really understand how we do all of the systems that we do, right? And the most fundamental systems are the legal systems that tell us what's okay and what's not okay. And then the second thing that I did is I went to the greatest leadership training academy, in my humble opinion, on the history of the planet, and that's the United States Marine Corps, and I became a Marine Corps officer. And over that next 10 years, as I went to law school and did my officer tour, I was able to participate in a lot of things. I was in fire education as the dean's fellow when I graduated from law school. And then I went on active duty in the Marine Corps, and I got to be a defense counsel. So I got to see what happens when the system breaks down, and I got to defend Marines and sailors against accusations when they were innocent, right? I had a 70% acquittal rate of the cases that I took to trial, not because I was just such an amazing attorney, but because they should have never been at trial in the first place. So I got to see what happens when the system breaks down. I also then got tapped for company command. So I commanded a company of 380, almost 400 Marines and sailors, and a slew of other civilians that were also part of what we did. So I got to see what goes on in the conversation rooms where policy and decisions are getting made. And what bureaucracy does to things and how things get distorted, how big organizations are just like a game of telephone and communication is an extremely difficult thing to make sure actually happens, right? We had to see all of these things. But the biggest thing that I learned over that journey was what I understood about leadership transformed. See, I thought that people who were bad leaders because they didn't care about people or because they were egomaniacal and just thought about themselves and it was about power and it's about me, right? Or because they were lazy and they just didn't work hard enough. And what I got to see time and time again was people who really cared about people, who were team oriented and mission driven and purpose driven, and people who worked really hard, who were failing at leadership and who were suffering in silence. And it really created a drive in me, right? I've always been focused on helping people in general, individuals, but I got to see that a lot of the people who are suffering under quote unquote bad leadership, the bad leader is suffering as well. And so everybody is suffering. It's not as if the leader is just getting off scot-free and the people are having to suffer. And so what I got to see was that if I can help leaders, I can dramatically impact the amount of people that I'm able to help with that same amount of time. And so that's really how I got to the work that I do now with founding the Legacy Leadership Consulting Group and our Legacy Builders Academy. And ultimately what we do is we help people to really get aligned with their purpose and to figure out how to move in effectiveness and efficiency so they can be the best that they can be, and that those that they lead, they can facilitate the manifestation of the greatness that is within those people.
First of all, thank you for your service. And that truly is not like the linear way of getting to a specific place to find the thing you're most passionate about. Mm-hmm. And of course, for you, your passion of helping people and making them be better leaders has become your purpose. So they've been enmeshed, which is what we want, because that makes us like the happiest and most joyful is when everything is aligned.
Exactly.
Now, I know a lot of the term that you may use is like chaos, right? We're thriving in chaos because we don't have systems and we don't have organization. And so we're kind of all over the place. And I think that's what you're finding in a lot of leaders. It's not that they don't have good hearts. It's not that they're not grateful for their teams or the people that they work with or surrounded around. It's that they don't have the systems in place to then share with their teams to keep it going and keep it organized. And when it's not in chaos, of course, we're more productive and when we're happier. When we're happier, yeah. When we don't feel like we're like a hamster on the wheel, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And for me, the concept of chaos, I think, is I took this and when I wrote my book, Thriving in Chaos, one of the big things that we wanted to talk about with regard to that concept is most people are trying to avoid chaos. They're trying to manage or organize chaos. And therein lies the problem, right? When I was in Marine Corps training, first book they had us read is a publication called Warfighting, MCDP 1, right? And it's called Warfighting. And in that book, one of the things that it explains is, you see, war is chaos, right? And to take the analogy further, life is chaos. It's not orderly. It's not, I can tell everything that's going to happen, right? You don't know what the weather is going to be tomorrow. You don't know what geopolitical things are going to go on. Like, life is chaos because basically when we talk about chaos, it's that you have imperfect information about the situation. You have enough information to make decisions, but you don't have enough information to be certain. And when you're working through that process, the people who try to manage the chaos, the people who try to, right, get as much information as is humanly possible, suffer from analysis paralysis, or they just work on impulse and they're constantly doing knee-jerk stuff, right? You've got the two ends of the spectrum. I can't get enough information, so I'm just going to go with my gut, or I need all the information before I make a decision, right? And what the book talks about is those who succeed in war are those who learn to thrive in the chaos. It's not that you're going to manage it. It's that you can understand that that the chaos is not a defining factor of whether you can be successful. That you can do what you need to do while the wind and the waves are raging around you. How you comport yourself, how you act, the systems that you put in place in your life, right? The chaos can be outside, but you don't want the louder chaos to be inside. And so when we talk about thriving in chaos, what we really talk about is being in alignment with your purpose inside, a resonance that you have such that what's going on outside is irrelevant because it doesn't deter you. It may divert you, but it doesn't deter you from achieving and accomplishing your goals.
Wow. So many things, just like ideas went off in my head. And when you're in alignment with your purpose, you don't feel like you're in chaos because you're so driven in a good way. Not sometimes the word driven could be have a bad
grind.
Connotation. And we don't really want people to, like, at least nowadays, that's what we're saying. You don't have to work harder. You can work smarter, right? Harder.
Yes. Yes.
So how do we help people find the alignment between what they need to do and what they want to do so that they have their quote unquote purpose?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And I think that there's a couple of things, right? The first thing is to remember that you're not broken, right? A lot of times what happens is that people start getting down on themselves because they feel what out of alignment is. And what I always like to use is the analogy for anybody who's ever driven a car that's out of alignment, this will resonate really quickly, right? You're driving in a parking lot, 10, 20 miles an hour down the street. You don't even know your car's out of alignment. Everything feels regular, feels normal. It's not till you get to be going about 20, 25, 30 miles an hour, so you start to feel a little bit of rumbling. You're like, man, what's going on with the car? You slow back down and the rumbling goes away. And then you speed back up again and the rumbling starts happening. You get to 40, 45, 50 miles an hour and the car feels like it's going to shake apart. And the crazy thing about it is, it's for the driver, it's an experience that feels like something is deathly wrong with this vehicle. Something's broken, right? But the reality is the engine works great. The tires are amazing. The chassis is great. All of the wiring and the electrical are fine. The only thing that's a problem is that the orientation and the alignment of the tires is just a little bit off. And that little bit transforms that normally perfectly functioning vehicle into what feels like a death trap. Once you fix that alignment, that same car, you can drive down the road 90 miles an hour, finger on the steering wheel, keeping it straight, very easy, and you're getting so much more done, so much more distance traveled with the same vehicle. And so one of the first things that I like to tell people is that realize that you're not broken, that greatness that was there, that passion that was there is there for a reason. And it's not that something's wrong with you as much as it is that you're just out of alignment a little bit. It needs an adjustment. And what we like to do, the adjustment that I help my clients really figure out is, first of all, removing a couple of what I like to call limiting beliefs, right? And one of those limiting beliefs is it's a great idea. It makes perfect logical sense. It sounds great, but it's really bad when we're trying to live an aligned life, a life of passion and purpose that are moving you towards your ultimate purpose in life. And that's the idea of work-life balance, which I believe personally is a myth, right? Work-life balance sets you up to compare your work and your life, whatever that may entail. And normally people have like their work, their home life, their community life. So now you're trying to balance 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 different commitments because you've got your nuclear family life, then you've got your extended family life, then you've got your community family life, right? Like, so you're trying to balance all of these things. And in order to balance, that means that you have 2 sides. Or 3 sides or 4 sides, which means that you're disintegrated. You're not the same person at work as you are at home, as you are over here. And you're trying to figure out who you're supposed to be. And you're having to put on different masks every time and be different people. It's impossible for you to work smarter and work easier when you're disintegrating yourself and then trying to balance it out. Instead, what I like to tell my clients is that what we work for is work-life harmony, right?
Much better word.
Exactly, right? And the whole concept, if you think about it from music, the beauty of harmony is this. Harmony is all about integration rather than disintegration. When you think about music, which is where we see harmonics happen the most, right? Individual notes give a certain experience to the listener. But when notes come in harmony, there's a different experience, because when the notes are harmonizing individually, they're vibrating at a certain frequency, but when they vibrate together, there's a new frequency, a new resonance that's created because of the harmony. And so harmony is actually a synergistic action. In other words, when you're harmonizing, the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. It's exponential growth without adding anything extra. It's just the harmony. And when you do that with your life, when you make sure that the person that you are at work, which is the same person that you are at home, the things that you do at work positively therefore impact the things that you do at home and the things that you do in society and the things that you do with your extended family. So what begins to happen is that you begin to amplify your life everywhere you go, because everywhere you're going, you're walking in alignment, you're living in harmony. And so you take that added energy that you get from the work that you do back home to your family, and you take that added energy from your home with your family out into the community. You take that added energy. And so now everywhere you go is better off because you've gone and been you, integrated you, harmonized you, aligned you in those places. That's how you begin to see that you can get things done way faster, that you can work less hours, that you can be less stressed, that you can be less overwhelmed, and you can still get more done. Right? Everybody's got the same 24 hours in a day, but it just seems that some people get way more done than others.
This is so true. I kind of had this visual. Like, my husband does a great job. Like, I feel like he's somebody who's really in alignment. His passion and his purpose are completely enmeshed. But I know probably more people are probably thinking and listening to this going, Robert, what you're saying sounds really great, but I feel like I'm all over the place and I wouldn't even know where to start to try to harmonize my life in all areas of my life. How do I do that?
Yeah. No, that's a really great question. And first thing that I would tell those people is you're not alone. Like, know that most people struggle with this. As a matter of fact, it's the reason why it's the first step in my book and the 5 steps that I talk about mastering your time and aligning your life. The first step that you have to take is you have to define success. You have to figure out where you're going. As the great Yogi Berra once said, if you don't know where you're going, any way will do. Right? Mm-hmm. And so oftentimes people get stuck. And I know that, right, even saying defining success, it sounds good, but how do I do that? How do I know what I want? How do I figure out what my purpose is? And there's a couple of things. Number one, it's important for you to know that knowing what you want is different than knowing what you don't want, right? There's a lot of people that live their lives and what we call is away motivated, right? They're moving away from something. I don't want to be poor. I don't want to be hot. I don't want to be cold. I don't want to be lonely. I don't want to be mean. I don't want to be angry. All of these things. Problem with away motivation, when you're moving away from something, let's say, for example, poverty, a lot of people struggle to become wealthy or struggle to move and improve their financial standing because they're trying to run away from poverty. Here's the funny thing. Middle class is away from poverty. So what happens is you get away from poverty and you get comfortable because you're not close to poverty anymore. And then you get content and then you get complacent. And you start to feel like, well, why is it that I'm not happy where I am? And the reason why is because you don't want poverty, but that doesn't tell you what you want. There's 15 million other things than poverty that exist in the world. To know that you don't want that one thing doesn't tell you what's the thing that you want out of the other 15 million things that are out there. And so what we like to do is be toward motivated. We want to figure out what it is that inspires you, what it is that arouses your passion, to know what it is that you love. And so a couple of things that we do, because this is difficult, right? Like I said, most people can tell you what they don't want all day long, right? You ever had that person that you've gone out with and it's like, well, I'm hungry. You're like, yeah, me too. What do we want to get? And it's like, I don't know, you pick. And then you're like, okay, well, let's go to Burger King. And they're like, I don't like the fries at Burger King. I don't really want to go to Burger King. Okay, well, there's a new steakhouse that just opened up. How about we go over there? Well, I'm not really in the mood. That's a heavy meal. I don't really want to eat a real heavy meal. No, that's not going to be good. Okay, well, we can go get a salad over at the local restaurant. It's like, I'm not really in the mood for rabbit food either. I don't know. Right? And they'll go through and they gotta know for every answer that you got, right? After a while, you get so frustrated. You're like, you figure out what you're going to get. I'm going to go over here and I'm going to eat, right? We don't have to eat together. I'm going to go get what I want. You figure out what you want, right? Because it gets so frustrating, right? That's where most of us are. And for most of your listeners, if they're out there and they're struggling trying to figure out what they want, the thing that I will tell you is It's not easy, but it's also not difficult. It's very simple to figure out what you want. You've got to just strip away everything that's not that, right? In his great book, The One Thing, Gary Keller said this, and I loved it. He said, in order to say yes to anything, you have to say no to everything that's not that thing, right? And the whole idea is, how do we figure out what is that thing that we can say yes to? And I take my clients through a couple of things. And I think that one of the things that I want to offer to your listeners is a free tool that we've created. It's called a Defining Success Self-Reflection Tool, right? So people can actually go through and do a couple of the activities that I take my clients through to help figure this out, to figure out what it is that you want. What is your purpose? I firmly believe that everybody is here for a purpose. There's not a person on this planet that is a mistake. There's no accidents that have been made. Everybody is here for a reason. And one of the most amazing things that you can do is to figure out what your reason is, what your purpose is. Once you have that, right? We talk about purpose. Once you have that, that allows you to know where you're going. And knowing where you're going allows you to then discern between the different ways of getting there so that you can attach and really select the ways that most align with your passions, right? There may be 15 different ways to get there. You can do it on Google Maps right now. You can say no toll roads. You can say no highways if you want to do that. Me and my wife just came back from a drive and we didn't want to go on the expressway because we knew that there was an accident. So we went, we wanted to do the scenic route and see the country and drive through a national forest and all the rest of this type of stuff. So we went on to Google Maps and we said, our passion was no highways, no toll roads, only, right, the scenic route. And we got a route that took us exactly how we wanted to go. And I got to see farms and we got to see forests and we got to see all types of beautiful things. That's the beauty of knowing what your purpose is. You then get to select the pathways to your purpose that align with your passion. And so I want to offer for your listeners, there's going to be a link in the show notes where you'll be able to get it's a simple download from our team. And then what it'll take you through is a couple of activities. One of them is a meditation. Another is an assessment and some different things that you can look through to really get clear about what good means to you, what success means to you, what your purpose is.
Yeah, that's amazing. I'm so excited that you are offering this to our listeners because I had this like, it's not just one type of person, right? I thought, wow, this would be so helpful for the person that's trying to decide, like they're getting out of college, but they don't really have a career path. Maybe they took a liberal arts degree or history, something, and they really don't know, but this could be so helpful. Then I was thinking, okay, this could really help somebody who's in mid-career too, that's not aligned with their path anymore. Like a lot of times what happens, like you're doing the job for so long, but you're just in it for the paycheck and you're not, it's not satisfying anything else.
Right.
Or
it looked like it was going to be awesome. And then you got into it and you realized, oh no, this is definitely not it.
Right. And then also like for the person maybe that is closer to retirement, that knows that they're not cut out for full-time retirement.
I
help them to figure out what the next path is for them and what their purpose is now, because our purpose definitely can change over time.
Exactly. And how we move toward our purpose or how we understand our purpose definitely changes over time, right? One of the cool things about it, just the life journey in general, and this is one of the things that one of my favorite quotes is from the late, great Dr. Maya Angelou. And she admonishes us to give ourselves grace for what we didn't know when we didn't know it. When we know better, do better. And so often we get stuck in what our idea at the time of what good looked like, thinking that that's what it's supposed to look like forever. Now, and a lot of people struggle to hold this idea in their mind. Just because your understanding of your purpose changed doesn't mean necessarily that your purpose changed, right? It's okay that you begin to understand more, right? Your understanding of who your parents were when you were a kid is very different than your understanding of who your parents are when you have children, is very different of your understanding of who your parents are as your children are now becoming adults. your parents didn't change from who they were. They've been the same person. Your understanding of them changed. And I remember the moment when I had the kind of epiphany where I was like, oh, wait a minute. If like my parents were in their 20s when they had me, I was in my late 20s when I had kids. And I looked back and I was like, oh my God, if I was in my early 20s when I had my children, I can understand completely all the stuff that y'all did that I thought was just crazy. Now I understand it very well. Now that I have my own children, have been through those things. They didn't change. My understanding of them changed. And so often that's what happens with our purpose. And a lot of people are like, well, did I get it wrong? Did I miss it? No, right? I've been doing the same thing my entire life. I've had a passion and a purpose to help people see the greatness that is within them since I was a little kid. The first way that I did it was by teaching. The next way that I did it was by leading in the military. The next way that I did it was by training and teaching leaders. And now I train and teach individuals and leaders how to align their lives so that they can manifest the amazing greatness that they have within them. But I'm doing the same thing that I've always been doing. It's not as if, just because the method changed, right? It's like if I drive or if I ride a bike or if I go in an airplane and I go from Chicago to San Francisco, the travel, the destination didn't change. How I may have, I took a bus to Omaha and then I rode a bike and then I got in a car and then I took a train and then I took a flight for the rest of it. The method of travel changed. The destination didn't.
Mm-hmm. That really connects the dots, right? And I know I totally relate to exactly what you just shared. Everything from thinking of my own parents and what I thought about them back then and how, as I got older and got married, had a family and all those things, mm-hmm. and how I see the whole situation differently.
Yeah.
But also, like you, I've always wanted to help people, mm-hmm. but the method of my helping people has changed as well.
Yeah.
And I think for the person listening to know that just because what you're doing right now might not be the exact fit, there are clues into who you are and what you're meant to do.
Yes, that is the key. And so much of it, so much of what we do is to really, like I said, help people get back in alignment and to recognize who they are, what the calling is on their life, what their purpose is, and to really learn to accept who they are, to love who they are, and to embrace the fullness of the amazing gift that they are, of the amazing creation that they are, so that they can go. Because I firmly believe that as people manifest their greatness, as people live according to their purpose, as people walk in alignment with their purpose, they don't just make their lives better for them. I firmly believe they make the world better for everybody.
Yeah.
Right?
I agree.
Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that we do, because you talked about it perfectly, we've got a number of different things. I've got the book. I've got different activities for people, because I remember I taught this framework when I was the Dean's Fellow at the University of Illinois College of Law. And I had 1L students who were coming through. And one of the things that a lot of them were struggling with, first year law students, struggling with, what type of lawyer am I going to be? Who am I going to be? And for many of them, because the pinnacle of the achievement was becoming the lawyer, right? Getting to law school was the thing. Now we've got 3 years and in the bar, but there's an entire question of, so what are you going to do for your career as a lawyer? And most people are coming in and their eyes are as big as saucers. And they're like, I don't know, because that was as far as they thought was getting to law school, right? And so helping them get through that. And it happens, like you said, for people that are mid-career, for people that are in a career. Oftentimes, once we get to the furthest point that we could see, it's been so long since we practiced seeing out in the future that we've forgotten how to do that. And it can be really devastating to a lot of people. And so what we do, we create a program called the Alignment Accelerator. And it's basically a program for people who know that they have a calling, but they feel stuck. They know that there's a purpose that's out there for them, and they can't figure out how to get everything aligned. They feel like they're all over the place, like you were saying before, and they don't know if they're going to stay in this job or if they need to do another thing, or if they can be retired or they can't be retired, or how do they want to help? Do they want, what does good mean for them? And what's the process of getting there? They know what it is internally. They can't articulate it. They couldn't tell it. They know that what they're doing isn't it. We put together a program specifically for people like that, who are high achievers, who have been successful before, who it's not a question of, can I do whatever I put my mind to, right? The question now is, now that I know that I have this power of accomplishing whatever I put my mind to, what should I put my mind to? What's going to arouse my passions to keep me disciplined long enough to actually accomplish and be in alignment with my purpose? And we built a program specifically for people like that to really help them get that sense of resonance, so that it's not just a head knowing, an intellectual knowing, but you get that knowing that you have all throughout your body when you know that you're in the right place, when you know you're doing the right thing, when you know you're on the path. And then we work through what are the habits and what are the obstacles that we need to remove and the habits that we need to put in place so that they can get done in 3 months what normally takes other people 6 or 12 months to get done.
That's amazing. It made me think of, I know one of the things you talk about is well-being. So maybe you can talk to us about the connection between being in alignment and your well-being.
Yes, yes. No, that's a phenomenal question. I think that it is, when people think about peace, when people think about being able to look at their lives and feel like they're proud of what they've accomplished, when people think about being able to walk every day and feel like each day is energizing you rather than draining you, when you're walking from abundance instead of from a life of scarcity, it's all about alignment. When you wake up in the morning and know that what you're about to do for the day is moving you closer towards all of the goals that are the purpose for which you were put on this planet, there's a different type of energy that you leave the bed with, right? And when you end the day getting ready to lay your head down on the pillow, knowing that you spent that day pouring into others, not from your lack, not from just barely getting by, just barely surviving, but from a place of abundance, knowing that your cup is filled with everything that you're doing because you're moving towards your goal, right? I remember listening to Jordan Peterson talk about this from a psychological perspective. He was talking about joy, and he was saying, we as human beings don't actually derive joy from accomplishing goals, right? There's actually a kind of grieving that happens when we actually accomplish a goal. Our joy, the dopamine hits that we get, actually come from us making progress towards our goals, doing things that make us clear that we're moving towards a direction or a destination. And one of the reasons why I work with my clients to figure out what their life purpose is because here's the beauty of it. You never fully accomplish it, but every day you can be making progress towards it. So every day you can be filling your cup. Every day you can be joyous. And along the way, you can celebrate milestone accomplishments while not having to feel the negative kind of remorse or guilt of, now I'm done. No, we know that we're not done, but we know that we're making amazing strides to the thing. So I think as far as well-being is concerned, the thing that I've seen my clients have, I remember I just had a client that finished our defining success portion of the Alignment Accelerator. And one of the things that she said, always known kind of what I wanted to do, but this is the first time that it's felt like it's actually going to happen.
Pretty exciting. Yeah.
Right. And the smile and the energy that she was exuding, it was amazing. And that's the work that we do. And so one of the other things that we do, I want to give this as a gift to those people, those of your listeners as well. Every month, I open up a couple of slots on my calendar to do what I call clarity calls. And they're basically an opportunity to spend a little bit of time with me figuring out what's the obstacle, where are you stuck, right? Where are you out of alignment? And what are some options? What are some things that are out there, right? And it's not just about whether or not you work with me. If you work with me, great. If you don't work with me, fine. But what are the options that are out there for you? What are the next steps that you want to go through? And then we figure out whether or not the Alignment Accelerator is where you want to go, or if there's some other program or some other book or whatever it is that you need to do. But everybody that leaves a clarity call leaves understanding and being much more clear on what the next step is. Instead of feeling stuck, instead of feeling like everything is cloudy and opaque, you actually have a good grasp on what the issue is, on what the possible solutions are, and most importantly, on what good looks like for you.
That's so generous. Thank you so much, Robert. And so here's the thing. Joy is in the journey. Just like when we say that sometimes it's planning the trip is more exciting than being on the trip. It's the journey, right? And then the other thing I want our listeners to really think about is like, are you waking up in the morning and are you energized? Are you excited for your day? Mm-hmm. Are you looking forward to the thing that you do? Because if you dread getting up every morning and you're not excited about the possibilities for the day, then you definitely need to look at kind of like what's wrong with this picture.
Yes, exactly. Right. We got to get out of the cycle of wake up, survive, go to bed, repeat.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything we didn't talk about today that you want to share?
I think the one thing that I would love to leave the listeners with, just again, right, we started off saying you're not broken, you're just out of alignment. And I want to leave you knowing that I see you, right? Even though I haven't met you, even though I don't know you, there's a couple of things that I want you to know that I know are already true about you. Number one, know that you have a purpose. Know that there's a reason that you are here. And I know that you can feel it, right? The fact that you're listening to this podcast, the fact you're constantly trying to pour into yourself and uplift yourself tells me that you're meant for more. And so the thing that I want to admonish you to do, the thing I want to encourage you to do, is to live every day like it's on purpose. And so endeavor to live in alignment with your purpose because you are destined for greatness.
Oh my gosh. Such amazing wisdom and really a lot of takeaways from this conversation. Thank you so much, Robert.
It's my pleasure to be here.
Okay, what's the best way for our listeners to connect with you?
The best way to connect with me would be to check me out on LinkedIn or to shoot us an email at support@ellc.com. Again, that's support, but E is in Tom, L is in Larry, L is in Larry, C is in Charlie, G is in golf.com.
Okay, and all your links will be in the show notes and also all the things that you're offering our listeners to get some support.
Yes.
Yeah.
Have you ever felt like life's challenges are piling up and you don't know where to start? I've been there several times. Work challenges, a life-changing injury, a divorce, grief. Having someone to listen made all the difference. And that's why I'm excited to share something that can make a real difference in your life. Today's sponsor, BetterHelp. BetterHelp, a sponsor of the podcast, is an online platform that connects you with licensed therapists, making it easy to get the support you need from the comfort of your own home. Whether you're dealing with stress, anxiety, relationship issues, or just feeling stuck, BetterHelp has professionals who can help. What I love about BetterHelp is that it's tailored to you. Starting therapy with BetterHelp is easy. Fill out a form and you're matched with a therapist, in most cases, within a couple of days. If the first therapist doesn't feel like the right fit, you can easily switch to another one until you find the right someone you can connect with. It's not awkward or a hassle. It's not just about therapy. It's about having someone in your corner when you need it most. So if you've been thinking about starting therapy, why not give BetterHelp a try? Visit BetterHelp.com/Candace Snyder today to get 10% off your first month of therapy. That's BetterHelp.com/Candace Snyder because you deserve to feel supported, heard, and empowered.
Kindness looks good on everyone, and that's why the Passion, Purpose, and Possibilities podcast has partnered with The Kindness Cause, a creatively curated online shopping experience of fashion-forward gifts that donate to nonprofit organizations to help you shop with purpose and donate in style. Together, our mission is to spread kindness, give back, and empower individuals to pursue their dreams through our exclusive line of inspirational merchandise that not only uplifts your spirits, but also gives back to those in need. Every purchase donates to a charitable nonprofit organization. To see this exclusive line, make a purchase, and support a cause, head over to the show notes for the direct link.
Okay, you can't leave without me asking you the 3P questions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the first one is, what is something you're passionate about that people might not know about you?
All right, I love it. I love it. So I'm going to give you two. One of them is a passion of mine that actually helped me to be more patient and more loving and more giving to people, believe it or not. And that's the practice of jiu-jitsu. As a martial artist, as somebody who grew up being, like I told you, I skipped a grade. And so I dealt with bullies. I dealt with people who were bigger, stronger, faster before I was, all the rest of that. And I endeavored to never be afraid of another person. And so I took martial arts and studied and became a national champion, did a bunch of different things. But jiu-jitsu for me was the art that allowed me to not have to fear the other person anymore, to know that I could reason with and that I could talk and that I could make space for the other person. Because at the end of the day, don't get it wrong. I tell people I don't fight. I just hug people and they go to sleep. But at the end of the day, jiu-jitsu is the art where I don't have to hurt you in order to keep you from hurting me. And it taught me a whole different understanding of interacting with people. So playing jiu-jitsu is one. And then the other is that I'm an avid golfer, so I have a passion for golf.
Oh, very cool. Do you have a course that is like on your bucket list?
Of course. I want to play St. Andrews, the old course over in Scotland. And then I also want to play, I was out there and I almost played it, but I haven't played Torrey Pines in California. That's another one that I want to play. It's Tiger's old course and everything. Yeah. So, yeah.
Very cool. Okay. The second question is, and we talked a lot about purpose, but if you had to give it a definition, what's your definition of purpose?
Purpose to me is your reason for existing. It is the thing that draws you. It is the thing that whenever you're in alignment with it, there's a resonance. There's a subtle knowing that you are in the right place and doing the right thing. And for me, my purpose is hoping to increase the number of people that are manifesting their greatness, that are living in alignment with their purpose.
I love it. Absolutely love it. Okay, there's one more, and that is there a possibility, a dream or vision you have for the future besides playing on those golf courses?
There we go. Yeah, so right now, what we're doing and what I'm endeavoring in, we have our, it's called 30 by 30 in our organization. It's our BHAG, our big, hairy, audacious goal. And our goal is that by 2030, our message, right, the message of alignment, the message of purpose, the message of manifesting greatness and living in alignment with your purpose and living, and as Marianne Williamson said, allowing your light to shine so that you unconsciously give other people permission to shine theirs, and liberating yourself and being liberated from your fear so that your presence automatically liberates others. That wave, that message of you are more than enough, you are capable, you are great. Our goal is that that message reaches 30 million people by the year 2025.
That's not that far away.
I'm sorry, not 2025. I'm sorry, 2030.
Even
30 loud
30.
That's not that far away.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we've been chugging along. We've been doing the work since earlier on in at the beginning of this decade, and we're making huge strides. And I think that we're definitely, the momentum is starting to pick up by the grace of meeting people, amazing people like you, and being able to be on shows like this. We're getting the word out. People are starting to really understand again that they are destined for greatness, and to start living to that expectation instead of just surviving, they're learning to thrive in the world. And we're really excited.
Oh my gosh. And you are excited. I mean, you've had a smile on your face the entire time that we've been chatting, which made me just want to keep smiling too. And really, you gave us so much to think about. And like I said, listeners, if you're not waking up every day and you're not excited about the day, then start reevaluating.
Yes, definitely. And know that there's a different way. And know that if you need some help, you can reach out. And we over at the Legacy Builders Academy, we got you.
Yes, you do. Thank you so much, Robert.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If you enjoyed the episode, please leave a rating and review and share it with a friend. Your support helps us reach more listeners and create a bigger impact. We're also doing something special. Each month, we'll be selecting a review to feature in an episode, and the reviewer will receive a surprise giveaway. So don't forget to leave your thoughts. You might just be our next winner. To connect with me or learn more, check the links in the show notes. I'd love to hear what inspired you today. Feel free to email me directly at candy564@gmail.com. Thank you for listening, and until next time.